What's up, everyone? I'm Will Talent.
And I'm Evan Harkin. We're two of your hosts for NFL Friday, WFUV Sports' exclusive NFL podcast.
From breaking down the weekly slate to fantasy football pickups, we've got you covered on all things around the NFL.
Stay tuned for our hosts' weekly picks as they compete against each other all season long.
Football is here, and so is NFL Friday.
Welcome into this week's episode of NFL Friday. I'm Owen Kelty, joined by Chris Carino and Trey Rodriguez. And we got a lot to talk about today, but before we get into it, how you boys doing today?
I'm doing well. Good football game last night if you're a Jet fan, not really for anybody else around the country, but nonetheless, we get some football coming into this weekend, which everyone's excited for. I'm still kind of have that new feeling when, you know, one football game is on. I haven't gotten jaded by the bad Thursday night games yet. When I see an NFL game on, I am excited. I'm sure that'll change in a couple weeks from now, but right now, the game of football, including college, which I'm sure I'll watch tomorrow, kind of has my full attention at the moment.
Oh yeah, I've been doing good. Had a long week of school this week, and I'm happy to be on the weekend now. But yeah, so far I think the season's been pretty good. Every single time I see a game, I'm excited. And I kind of agree with you that, like, usually last year it was like Thursdays, and it got to that point where every Thursday game was a drag. It doesn't feel like that right now. The season's still exciting, so I'm ready to get into it.
I mean, I know you guys talk about last season Thursday game sucking, but talk about last night.
Yeah.
Not a good game at all. 24-3 final score. Jacoby Brissett was getting killed back there. The Patriots O-line is terrible, and this looks like more like the Patriots team that everyone was expecting going into the season. A really bad roster. That week one win versus the Bengals seems to be pretty fluky right now. But how about those Jets coming out after two kind of weak games? They didn't look great in weeks one and week two, but now they kind of come out in this game and they look really good.
Yeah, I think a few more Thursday night games like this and my excitement might get dampered slightly, especially as we get into the colder weather. But the New York Jets, it felt, and there was a lot of jokes about this on Twitter, Instagram, places of that nature, feels like for the first time in my lifetime, definitely, probably ever, that the power dynamic is the way it is between these two teams. These two teams have played each other in succession multiple times every year for the last over 20 years. It has always felt the Patriots have had the upper hand on them in every fashion. Now it really feels like the Patriots are the less dominant of the two, and they are the hunted. They are no longer the hunter in this relationship with the Jets.
Yeah, I think I saw some stat yesterday on Instagram, and it was like the Patriots have beaten the Jets like 13 times in like the past 15 games or something. Like, there's just such a clear dominance in this, like, in the games that they have. And I mean, I think it's probably fair to say now that the Jets are probably going to be able to turn that around a bit and really start to, like, start catching up on that record. I mean, the Jets just looked phenomenal yesterday, and the Patriots just, there was really no life that was being shown. I mean, they even had to put Drake May in.
Yeah, I mean, well, don't say it like that. Drake May
is great.
He's
quarterback.
He's handsome and fantastic.
Should have been a Giant.
Yeah. Also, a Ramondre Stevenson fantasy owner, for the record.
Points.
Just want to throw that out there so it adds a level of pain to hear. I, as a NFC, or a fan of an NFC team that's not even in the area, I have grown fond of the Jets, especially over the last 5 years or so. It's just a lovable loser quality. It's a reason I have a fondness for the Cubs as well in that other league, because I root for the Yankees in the American League.
Recent championship, though, lovable loser for the Cubs.
Recent, 8 years ago is recent?
Yankees haven't won in a while. Giants.
All right, well, that's another story. And shout out me and your friend Joe Masters. What national fans have seen the same amount of World Series as Yankee fans have. But I digress. I really think when you look at Jet fans, and especially Jet fans of our age, we know a lot of them. It really feels like now there's not that doom and gloom on the other side anymore. It really feels like optimism is maybe the highest it's ever been in Jets Nation. At least as long as I can remember. I remember some Mark Sanchez years where they were in AFC Championship games and it looked exciting, but never have I seen such poise and confidence with a Jet quarterback really just leading his offense. Watching Aaron Rodgers play for this Jet team, it did something to me. It was almost therapeutic. Just watching him play football in general is therapeutic. I love watching him throw the football, but specifically for the Jets, it just felt so right. MetLife seemed to love him. They seemed to love the blowout as well. Garrett Wilson's ridiculous. I would like to kind of ask a side note question here, not really pertaining to the game necessarily numbers, but How do you guys feel about Garrett Wilson, the long sleeves on the jersey? How do we feel?
It looks terrible.
Almost a quarterback style situation. How do we feel about that? I'll go behind the boards to Trey.
I mean, it's definitely kind of strange. I mean, yeah, I do. It's like a quarterback situation. I don't really know why.
And he switched to five because he was 17 before. Now he's wearing five.
Yeah, I don't know. He's like trying to change. He's trying to change like his whole like personality or something off his clothes. It makes like no sense.
Kelty, what are we thinking on the long?
I don't know what's really going on with it. Is it the special jerseys they're wearing? Because aren't they wearing their new like city jerseys? Or
no,
whatever?
That's their new jerseys.
That's their new permanent.
They're wearing
jersey.
Well, they did the white throwback New York Sack Exchange generation jerseys, but now
these are their permanent jerseys.
They have ditched the pajama style New York in the front jerseys, which were I think the worst jerseys in their franchise history. Not even close. And now I love him. I personally like him a lot. I even said
I like the jersey, right. But not on him.
True.
The sleeves,
right.
He looks like he's in a high school player.
I agree.
Playing in the NFL.
It looks too big for him, too. Yeah, I agree. Also, on the other side of the ball, Patriots had a good sneaky redesign on their jerseys as well. Those white jerseys are clean with the red and blue shoulders and then the white crispy. Great jersey combination last night.
I mean, they need whatever they can to get fans watching these games. But you talked about, even with the Mark Sanchez days of Jets optimism, that's when they had to look at Tom Brady was going to be meeting them in any playoff game. Now it's flipped. Now you have the Hall of Fame quarterback. You have Aaron Rodgers. And he looked really good last night. He was scrambling. He was making those incredible passes on the Garrett Wilson touchdown just over the hands of Christian Gonzalez. I mean, Jets fans have been waiting, you could probably say forever, for a quarterback of this talent, and I would say the wait has been worth it. He's looked good. Just overall from you guys, how do you think he's looked so far to start the year?
Yeah, I'll jump in really quick here because I have more of a point just about the general NFL when it comes to quarterbacks right now. It feels like the bar is just generally lower right now than it usually 100%. Is. It feels like quarterback play is just not where it usually is. So in comparison, Aaron Rodgers looks from another dimension, it almost feels like. A competent quarterback who knows how to keep himself composed in the pocket and knows how to read from left to right an entire field and really find the open man. It seems like something that shouldn't be too hard of an ask, but right now that seems to be where the bar is for good quarterbacks right now in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers succeeds in that massively. Even when you think about some of these mobile quarterbacks in the NFL, Lamar's the first one that jumps out to mind. It really feels like standing and delivering in the pocket quarterbacks maybe is where kind of the league is trending. Even a guy like Shador who's coming out of college, it seems like that's kind of what his game is. So maybe that's where the game is trending, and Aaron Rodgers, he's like the last Jedi of that kind of player
of the
for
era.
Sure. Yeah,
I mean, he's 40
of that
years
era,
old.
Yeah, of that era, and then of that kind of player as well. And I think now he can kind of be the elder statesman of this new generation.
I mean, and I would like to say that I have grown up on Long Island for my whole entire life, and basically most of Long Island is Jets fans, and I have seen my whole entire life all my friends on Long Island have to grow up and suffer with the Jets being absolutely terrible every single year. But now it's just like it's so strange to see that the Jets actually kind of have like a franchise quarterback to their name, and it's strange to see a team as the Jets be confident. But I mean, I'm not a Jets fan, but I know all my friends who are Jets fans, they have very very high hopes on this team, and they're actually excited for once. They're excited to watch.
They
the
should
Jets.
Be. They 100%. Should, and they should have high hopes. I completely agree. I think even when looking at how different this team is from this year to last year, and you see how only really the quarterback changed, maybe the other guys who share the stadium could kind of take a key from them.
Not this year.
Realize the. But what more the point I'm making is, the Jets are a perfect example last year and this year of just how important the quarterback is. It is the team. It is night and day. It is the entire team and their talent and where they go. It's all dependent on the quarterback. The Giants seem to not really understand that.
And they showed last night that MetLife, which is a dump and has the last probably 8 years has never seen a sold-out crowd there, they showed that MetLife Stadium can get electric. Those intros last night, those were sick. Like all the flashing lights.
And we even saw last year with Rodgers and the flag.
Yeah. I mean, they've shown MetLife can get hyped. The Giants haven't showed that. You know, it's been a while.
Well, I was there week one, and up until before the Vikings were up two touchdowns, it was pretty exciting. It's when they are demoralized. It's when the hope is taken away from them. That is when they stop showing up. Because I do think football fans in this area, there's a lot of them, and they are abundant, and they are passionate. It really just they just need the teams to succeed for them to root for.
And before we move over to the dumpster fire that is the Giants, I just want to talk about the outlook on the rest of this Jets season. They do have pretty tough of a schedule to end the year, and kind of in the middle, they have the Broncos next week, which is bad team. But then they go Vikings, Bills, Steelers, back to Patriots. Their schedule gets a little rough. So what do you guys think of like their outlook as a team going forward?
I mean, I still think that the Jets are going to be fine. I do think that they are one of the top teams in the AFC. And, I mean, just looking at their schedule right now, yes, they do have a hard schedule, especially kind of getting towards the end of the season. I think it gets
that, those last five games are – you got Dolphins, Jaguars, Jets – Dolphins, Jaguars, Rams, Bills, Dolphins.
Yeah.
If Tua's back.
If Tua's back, and also if Kupp and Nacua are back, yeah, too. Those – that's a very – hard end to the season. So you better hope that the Jets have a strong record going into that, but I'm confident that they will.
And when looking at just the general picture of not only their division but their conference, Tua goes down in Miami. The Bills, they do seem to still be a force, but maybe not at the peak of what they were in this generation with Allen. And then the Patriots are what the Patriots were last night. It feels like the door is open for Saleh and the boys in New Jersey. It feels like this is the time when the Jets need to make that leap into the next tier of football team. And I think it's now. Even when you look at the general scope of the AFC, it's kind of thin. Obviously, you have maybe one of the better football teams we've seen in the NFL of the last decade in the Kansas City Chiefs. But aside from that, I think there's a lot of pretenders, not a lot of legit teams. This Jet team could be one of those legit teams.
Especially for that division. The Bills, as they look good right now, but with Tua going out, they were the division favorites going into the year. So him being hurt, that really hurts their chances. Before we move on to the Giants, I want to touch on your Seattle Seahawks. 2-0 to start the year. First place in the NFC West. They look good, and the rest of the West looks extremely injured. So how are we feeling so far going into the year about your Seahawks?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a big guy who likes to just look at the numbers, look at the record. We're 2-0. That's what I like to look at. 2-0, week one, sluggish. Week one, even though technically if you look at just the two results, week two's probably comes off a little bit worse for the reputation.
Relied on a blocked field goal to beat the Patriots.
But you say that, like relied on to beat the – but yeah, you know good teams lose to bad teams in the NFL in the regular season 100%. All the time, especially when you're going on the road after winning week one. That's a game in my fandom as a Seahawks fan, we lose that game a lot. We lose that game all the time. Year after year we lose that game, not this
Super
year.
Super Bowl too.
Not this year. Not –
Shout out Malcolm Butler.
You've seen one playoff win in the last decade, so that's fine. I've seen more Super Bowl games than you've seen playoff games, so it's fine.
I've seen two.
Yeah.
Oh, you've seen three Super Bowls?
No, I've seen two Super Bowls, but like I was conscious.
I've seen two playoff
games. You've seen two playoff games, I've seen two Super Bowls. That's the level, so I don't want to hear it from over there. Nonetheless, when you look at the win, that's a game the Seahawks lose all the time. It's a game that Geno throws all the time down the stretch. Geno was reading all four wide receivers in a way I have not seen him read them before. It seemed like he was a one-read quarterback for about 3 years. It seemed like if Charbonnet wasn't open on the wide or the tight end didn't get open over the middle, that Geno was going to struggle and that DK might catch one ball and Smith and Jigba might catch one ball. But aside from that, we're not getting much production. It is a different football team this year. Kenneth Walker's out, by the
way. He's gone for a while.
I hear a lot of jokes, but the number one offensive threat on our team was out, and we still won the game, for the record.
DK Metcalf is not the number one offensive threat.
No, Kenneth Walker is. Kenneth Walker is on par with any running back in this league. I don't really think. I think he is.
I think that's
I can really make an argument he's the best running back in the NFL, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
With CMC hurt, Kenneth Walker is up there as one of the best running backs.
I think CMC is the GOAT, and then or he's the king in his own tier, and then under that, it's kind of up for debate. But I do think, especially, I haven't even gotten started on the defense. And when have you seen an NFL team, both of you, go from bottom 10 to top 10 that fast? It happened over an offseason. They did a lot of work in the offseason to make moves, get things done. They had guys leave, Jordan Brooks, Bobby Wagner. The linebacker core changes a ton. They bring in a few guys through the defense. They get a guy from Austin, Texas, who, you know, he's pretty good as well. But then you just look at the secondary, Devon Witherspoon, Tariq Woolen. The defense is kind of just slowly coming together. Last year, I was singing their praises all year long, and they made me look like an absolute idiot for 9 months. This year, it's different. First 2 weeks, they were fantastic offensively. I know you're both going to throw the offenses they played at me, but when you look at Bo Nix, they made Bo Nix look bad. It's not the other way around. He didn't make the defense look good. They made Bo Nix look bad.
But I don't think it's hard to make Bo
no,
Nix look
bad. No, I think
bad.
You're wrong. I think Bo Nix is good.
Bo Nix has looked bad through 2 weeks.
He didn't look bad last week. He looked fine. I don't think he looked egregious. Also, that spin rushing touchdown in the end zone in Seattle was electric.
That was nuts, but it wasn't him throwing the ball.
Yeah, no.
Bo Nix can't throw the ball.
He can throw the ball.
He's 35 years old and can't throw the rock.
We're in a Seahawk conversation. I'm not here to defend Bo Nix. But when you look at Geno, I've never felt the confidence that he's capable behind that line and in that pocket, standing and delivering, as I was just talking about Aaron Rodgers. I now kind of feel that way, at least in a semi-confident way. I felt last year we were a playoff team that didn't get in. This year we're a playoff team that I think can make some noise. And when I look at the rest of the NFC, I don't see a team that scares me a ton.
And in the NFC, now with you, if you look at the 49ers, no Christian McCaffrey, no Debo Samuel, no George Kittle.
They scare me.
We're about to find out if Brock Purdy's worth $60 million a year.
I don't care if it's the Marlboro High School going out there in the 49er uniforms. I'm still afraid of that logo. I'm afraid.
Even if they don't get their roster back and you could win this division very easily.
Own Kelty. If Fred Warner snaps on pads, I'm afraid.
Fair enough.
That's all
that
I really have to say.
Is still very healthy.
And also, everyone just forgets how good the Rams are as well.
That's true, but not right now. I mean, if you look at the Rams, they lost Puka Nacua.
Right, when they're healthy. Yeah. Coming into the year when they had the receiving core healthy, Kyron Williams was the back, along with what's his name from Michigan behind him. Stafford's still there. It felt like a lot of pieces. If they could stay healthy and get healthy down the stretch, I could see the Rams giving kind of the Seahawks a run for their money. NFC West, going to be interesting. Cardinals are even kind of a good team, too.
Cardinals have been very good to start the year.
And shout out, my fantasy team has been horrible. I brought up Ramondre earlier. I traded for Marvin last week. That was fantastic. I would highly recommend. It's maybe one of the best viewing situations in all of football, just watching him play football. It's fantastic.
I mean, that was a really good game from him. But so we're going to move on from the West Coast now back to the East Coast with the New York Dumpster Fire Giants. This team absolutely stinks. They have been awful all season. The first two games, first game of the season, blown out by the Vikings, which was embarrassing for them. And then week two, had a close game with the Commanders, and then they just can't make a field goal. Kicker gets hurt. Giants decide not to elevate a second kicker on the roster, which is just on Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. You need to have a kicker on your roster when Graham Gano's going into the game injured. Giants would be 1-1 right now in first place in the NFC East, but they stink. And Daniel Jones is not the quarterback of the future. This team has been awful to start the year. The offensive line, though, has looked good. Trey, before I go on a long rant, because this team just makes me very angry, what are your overall thoughts on the Giants so far to start the year?
I mean, I do think the Giants are like in a very strange spot in football right now. They're not in as nowhere near as awful a situation as the Panthers are.
No, not at all.
But it's just bad. So strange. It's been taking so long for them to get it together. Like, at least they have their offensive line now, but like, what's happened to their defensive line? Like, this is, like, we were talking about this earlier with Dexter Lawrence, Thibodeau, and Burns. Like, where have they been? Why has their defense not been stepping up? And when I going into the season, been hearing, oh, yeah, Giants going to be a top 10 defense in the league, where has that been? And, I mean, like you said, you guys really should be 1-1 right now, but you don't have that second kicker. It's just all these oversights and stuff that are kind of, like, costing you. It sucks. Like, it's so strange that basically last week, the only reason why you guys lost was because of a kicker, because you guys didn't have a kicker.
Yeah, if we could have kicked a single extra point, would have won that game. Instead, had to go for a two-point conversion three times. There was a couple times where we went forward on fourth down, where we could have kicked a field goal. They win that game. They didn't give up a touchdown. You brought up that defense. Been super disappointing to start the year. Everyone except for Dexter Lawrence. Absolute dog. In my opinion, the best defensive tackle in the NFL. His stats are off the chart. I mean, you have Giants fans, our teams around the league begging for the Giants to just trade him to a winner so you could see him actually have an impact on a winning team. But you brought up Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau.
Where have they been?
Absolutely non-existent. Kayvon Thibodeau did have a good game versus the Commanders, but when you look at his track record now in the third year of his career, all of his best games are versus the Commanders. I think last year, he had 11.5 sacks, and maybe six of them came versus the Commanders.
Wow.
And now, this week, he had a 17% pass rush win rate, which was the fourth highest of his career. Once again, it's against the Commanders. We need to see something from him going into his third year other than against the Commanders and show why that defensive line was so hyped up going into the season. And Brian Burns, Giants traded picks for him, gave him $28 million.
A very strange trade, too, I thought.
Especially when there were really good edge rushers on the market. Josh Allen was available, who got the same amount of money and had 17 sacks the season before. Brian Burns has just looked non-existent out there, which is shocking because when you're on the Panthers, you really have no one. I mean, they had Dwayne Brown next to him, who is a all-pro defensive tackle. But this defensive line, it should be so much easier for Brian Burns to get pass rushes on the quarterback, and it just hasn't been there.
But you think maybe that Brian Burns, maybe his stats were a bit inflated because of the fact he was on such an awful team.
Also, on the field, they were on the field all the time on that Panther. The offense was exactly. 3 and out. You're going to put up 11.5 sacks if you're playing 40 minutes a game on defense.
Yeah.
And your offense isn't scoring.
So you begin to wonder, like, all right, just 2 games into this season, you're already having concerns about this edge rusher you just paid so much money for.
Five years.
It's kind of scary.
Definitely a little scary, but if you look at some other pieces, there is optimism to be found on this Giants team. Not a ton, but on the defense, Drew Phillips, the nickel rookie they've drafted, has looked really good in spots. Starts. He's now the starter. He's looked really good through the first 2 games. So this was a big year for Joe Shane, because we're going to talk about it in a few minutes, about Joe Shane and Brian Daboll being on the hot seat. Joe Shane needs his draft picks to start turning out into good contributing players. He's had a couple so far, Micah McFadden, Drew Phillips, Kayvon Thibodeau. I mean, he was the 5th overall pick. He hasn't played to the 5th overall pick, but he's been good. So I couldn't say it was a missed pick. Evan Neal, massive bust. But again, I don't know if you could put that on Joe Shane, because he was one of the top prospects.
Yeah.
A couple of their other picks have been looking good, but I want to talk about, do you think Brian Daboll's on the hot seat?
I mean, yeah, totally. I mean, it's just, it gets to a point where even when you have, like, regardless of talent, you just keep on losing, you're going to get on that hot seat. And I mean, sure, he did have success with the team about 2 years ago now, but ever since then, the team just looked lifeless. And the thing, too, is that, all right, I know you might not have that much talent, but, like, it feels like there's not a lot of energy coming out of this team a lot.
No.
Time. And you need leadership as a coach. And, I mean, and as I said 2 years ago, I really thought you saw that leadership in him, but it's like, where's the life coming from this team? There's no passion.
And you could feel in some ways that he might be starting to lose the locker room. I mean, Dexter exactly. Lawrence has been here for, we traded Odell in 2018. So I think Dexter was drafted in 2018. So now almost 6 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
He's had one winning year. And in his press conference earlier in the week, he's like, I'm getting tired of losing. And this is one of the best players in the NFL. How long before he requests a trade out of here? How long before a lot of guys get frustrated? And once you lose the locker room, there's really no coming back from that. We see that in head coaches all the time. We saw it with a lot of the past Giants head coaches, Ben McAdoo and Joe Judge, who had sort of successful first years, second years, you know, they weren't good, and then lose the locker room, and next thing you know, they're out of here in 2 years. So I definitely think Brian Daboll, if they don't figure it out soon, is going to be on the hot seat. But looking at their upcoming schedule, it's all we talk about, the Jets being a gauntlet. They're on the road with the Browns. Home versus the Cowboys,
that'll be a rough game,
yes, on the road versus the Seahawks, Bengals, Eagles, Steelers, and then Commanders again, which is like their next 6 games are going to decide the outcome of the season.
Yeah.
If they go 2-4 in that stretch, I would consider that a win. And even at that point, you'd be 2-6 starting the season.
Yeah.
I mean, their schedule is not favorable right now, but I'm looking at if this team starts 0-8, what do you think the next move is? You think coach is gone? Do you think?
I would hope the coach is gone if you guys start 0-8.
Is Daniel Jones benched at that point, especially with his contract? If he gets hurt and ends the season on IR, his contract becomes guaranteed the next 2 years, and then you're stuck with him.
I mean, I think he's a good coach. But
I agree. I think he's a good coach.
But, I mean, it just gets to a certain point where no matter how good of a coach that you are, when you just can't do anything with your team, you're going to get on a hot seat. You're going to get fired. And that's just how the business goes. But I mean, I do think just looking at his upcoming schedule, I mean, if you guys go 0-8, that would be disastrous.
I mean, that's looking at, I think the Panthers win this week. So you'd be looking at 1st or 2nd overall pick with no future, because Daniel Jones then 0-8, that he's gone next year. Because if you're having a top pick, you're drafting someone else. So 0-8 is not a bright future for this Giants. Before we move on, I want to just talk about some of the bright spots of this team so far. Actually, maybe the only bright spot, Malik Nabers, has been an absolute stud to watch so far. Really the only reason I'm tuning into games anymore. At first, because, you know, looking at the draft, me personally, I really wanted one of the big three quarterbacks. Giants weren't good enough. And Malik Nabers was looked at as a consolation prize. If he's a consolation prize, I would take that any day of the week. This guy has shown that he can be one of the best receivers in the league.
I mean, like, I mean, when was the last time you guys have had like a great wide receiver?
Odell Beckham Jr.
Literally,
he was our last 1,000-yard receiver
6 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when you guys brought in Kenny Golladay.
Oh, shout out Kenny Golladay.
You guys thought that was going to solve your problems, but clearly that didn't. But I mean, it's nice to have, especially in like such a big New York and such a big New York market, to have a really big name wide receiver like that. Now, you get him a big name quarterback, and you got a good duo going on there, and all of a sudden you bring life back into New York sports, or Giant sports at least. But, I mean, he's looked phenomenal so far. Honestly, he's probably been the best wide receiver so far out of the rookie class.
Oh, yeah. He's been Marv had that good game, but I think but Neighbors has shown more as an overall receiver than Marv has. I mean, he had two big plays that counted as like chunks of his yards.
That first week by Marv was brutal.
Yeah, he was jogging out. I think it was two catches.
I think it was one catch for like 4 yards or something.
Yeah, that was a bad one. Malik Neighbors last week had 10 catches, I think for 133 yards, or 127 yards, 18 targets. 18 targets to a rookie, I mean, that's relying on a lot from him.
I'd much rather have that than what the Jaguars are doing right now, because they're not throwing to BTJ.
He looked good in week one, though.
He did, and he looked good in week two, too, but they don't throw a ball to him. So I'd much rather have the Giants situation where you're just throwing a ball to the kid over and over again, getting him those reps. And I know he dropped that wide open. I know he dropped
the game losing pass.
But, you know, it's good that already happened.
Get it out of the way.
You get it out of the way, and now he's thinking to himself, I am never doing that again because I cannot experience the feeling that I just felt.
And maybe he dropped it because he wants a new quarterback. He's adding up those losses. He's like, hey, I had a good game today. Maybe I'll drop this one and I lost to the calm. Good
worse.
Stats
make
game.
Make our record a bit worse.
Yeah, you know. But definitely I like seeing two out of him, the passion of after dropping that. You know, a lot of receivers, you know, maybe they go to the sideline. They're kind of just like, like drops happen. But he was passionate, throwing his helmet down. And that's kind of what drove Odell Beckham out of town, was showing passion on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that doesn't happen this time. Before we get into our picks for the week, I want to talk about what I think is the game of the week, with the New Orleans Saints hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. That, in my opinion, is going to be, with how the Saints have looked so far, their offense is firing on all cylinders. After a full offseason of Saints fans wanting to kill Derek Carr, I'd never seen a fan base that hated their quarterback more than the Saints fans hated Derek Carr. They love him now. We were talking about this earlier. It's been 18 days since the last murder in New Orleans, which is one of the longest stretches. I mean, Derek Carr, he's saving the day there. They're averaging, I think they scored on all 15 Derek Carr-led drives.
The Saints have brought peace to the city.
Derek Carr and the Saints have brought peace to New Orleans, which is very hard to do. And the Saints, too, looking at this, they were one of the oldest teams in the league. They bring in a new offensive coordinator, and they've just been firing on all cylinders.
I mean, I genuinely can't believe that the Saints have been doing as good. I mean,
I didn't see it coming at all.
Like, you know, obviously their first week, they beat the Panthers, whatever, who cares? I don't care how many points you drop on them. But then the next week, you go out there.
Go into Dallas.
And you destroy the Cowboys like that.
44 points on Dallas, who is, their defense is good.
Regular season heroes, the Dallas Cowboys, and they got destroyed. So, I mean, then you start to think, oh, maybe this isn't as fraudulent as you think it is. But I'm still a bit questionable with the Saints, especially going against the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles, they just look phenomenal this season. I do understand they lost that game.
Choke
last
job
week.
Versus the. They've been doing that a lot lately. The Eagles.
If Saquon caught that pass, I mean, that's just.
Yeah, but you could say that a lot. Hey, Giants fan, I've seen Saquon drop a lot of passes in that stadium that have lost us games.
But I do think that the Saints are just. They're so hot right now. I mean, Derek Carr is in like the top five talks for MVP right now. Like,
he's hitting Michael Jackson dances in the end zone.
Yeah, and he gets fined like $14,000. That's ridiculous right there. No fun league. But, I mean, this should be a really fun game. I do think the Eagles are going to come out of this, though, because I think that the Eagles are going to be very hungry after what just happened last week.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles, though, this is a bigger game, I would say, for them than the Saints. The Saints are 2-0 right now. Eagles are 1-1. Eagles lose this game. They fall to 1-2. And the NFC East is kind of looking weak this year. Who knows what the Cowboys will do this week, but I think Nick Sirianni hot seat talks might get a little hotter, because they've been bad in their last, I think, 9 games.
Right.
A lot of losses. And if they lose, fall 1-2, Jalen Hurts doesn't have a great game, especially with how good that roster is. talks are going to get hot in Philly. I mean, they got booed off the field last game after blowing that to the Falcons.
Not only do I think talks going to get hot with Sirianni, I think it's going to get hot with Jalen Hurts.
Really?
I can't lie. I'm kind of like a Jalen Hurts hater. But, fair enough. But, I mean, you have so much talent around you. I mean, like, you have one of the best offensive lines in football. I mean, you did just lose Kelsey, so it kind of hurts a little bit. But, you know, you still got a great offensive line. Mm-hmm. And you got an amazing running back, amazing wide receivers. That's the quarterback's job at that point. There's no other excuse for a quarterback to underperform with that. And, I mean, he luckily for him, he has been playing pretty fine recently. So, but I do think if they lose this game again and then continue this trend of just keep on losing that has started last season, I think not only Sirianni, but I do think that Hurst is going to be on a hot seat too. But Sirianni will definitely... He'll be on fire.
Yeah, I agree with the Sirianni. I don't know about the Jalen Hurts. And about 15 minutes ago, it was announced that A.J. Brown will be out this week, too.
That's a big deal.
And going into New Orleans, that place is going to be jumping, too. They're going to be fired up for Derek Carr. They're going to be fired up for that team. But that is a really good team right now, the Saints. Who knows how long they'll keep it on. But you said you're taking the Eagles in that game.
Totally.
I'm going to be taking the Saints. So let's get into our weekly picks. We're going to start with... Well, Pat's Jets was last night. I did pick the Jets to win that one, so started 1-0 to win this week. But we're gonna move on to Giants and Browns. I feel like we're gonna be going both the same way here. Giants are 6.5-point underdogs. It's rough. The team's not great. Browns also, Deshaun Watson hasn't looked good at all, but it's also the Giants. So I'm going with the Browns for this one. I think Deshaun Watson maybe figures it out for us, this Giants defense.
I'm going with the Browns too. I mean, I saw the Browns play last week. Their offense is absolutely horrible, but their defense is just unbelievable.
It just
makes up for it. So I think the Browns got this pretty easily.
All right, next game we're going to look at is the Broncos and Bucks. Baker Mayfield saving his career down there in Tampa Bay, getting paid. Bucks have looked really good to start the year. Broncos and Bo Nix, we were just talking about this a couple minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Bo Nix, we both agree, kind of stinks
so far
in his career. I mean, the Broncos really, they got to figure it out there with Sean Payton, one of the highest, I think the highest paid coach in the NFL, but I think the easy pick here, at least for me, is the Bucks.
Definitely the Bucks. I couldn't agree anymore. I mean, it's just the Broncos are probably one of the worst teams in the NFL, so there's really no reason to think why the Bucks would lose this game here. They win in every single facet of the game.
Yeah, moving on, Texans at Vikings. Sam Darnold, also talk about another former Panthers quarterback reviving his career down there in Minnesota. Justin Jefferson is questionable for this one. Texans have not looked great to start the season. Vikings beat the 49ers last week. They started off really hot. I'm going with the Vikings in this one. I think Sam Darnold moves to 3-0. Texans pick up their first loss of the year. Even though it is the Diggs revenge game, I still am going with the Vikings.
I got Texans winning.
Really? Okay.
I do think that they have looked rough to start the season, even though they are 2-0, but their two games have been pretty sloppy. But I don't really know why. I just think that the Texans just have a much better roster overall. And sure, the Vikings have been playing on fire, and beating the 49ers like that is super impressive. But I think they might flame out this week against the Texans and maybe settle a bit back down to reality.
What do you think the Diggs reception is going to be? You think he gets booed, cheered?
I don't think he's gonna get cheered, but I also don't think he's gonna get booed either. It's been a while.
But he was traded for technically Justin Jefferson.
I mean, look what happened. Now they got a better wide receiver.
And he gave them the Minnesota Miracle.
They should be happy.
I think they should be happy too, but it's always interesting to see. Did he request a trade out of there? No, right? They traded him.
Yeah.
He kind of did request a trade out of the Bills. Who knows with him? Next we got Chargers Steelers. The absolute battle of the grit. Two teams
game that
just absolutely love running the ball, absolutely love defense. I got the Steelers in this one. Justin Fields, one touchdown pass this year, but their defense is incredible. Great matchup is going to be TJ Watt and Joe Alt. The rookie did good against Max Crosby week one, but with TJ Watt's just another animal. I think TJ Watt dominates that game. Like, he dominates every game. I'm going with the Steelers to hand the Chargers their first loss of the year.
I think I'm going to go with the Steelers too, but I don't think TJ Watt's going to dominate that. Joe Alt is just a special talent.
Really? I mean, you think he if Joe Alt dominates this game, he might cement himself in his third career game as a top 10 tackle.
I mean, I don't think he's going to dominate, but I don't think he's going to allow TJ Watt to dominate either. I think it's going to be a pretty fair matchup.
Maybe like a sack, and then but Joel holds his own.
Yeah.
We talked about Eagles-Saints already. I got the Saints. You got the Eagles. Another interesting game. Big game for the Colts. Bears at Colts. Colts are 0-2 to start the year. They really, if they lose this game, they're heading towards very questionable territory, especially after barely missing the playoffs last year. Bears still, people like to say they're not really in a rebuild, but in year one of a quarterback, they're I think you can still say you're in a rebuild. Their O-line really needs help. They do have a good wide. They have a good foundation, but expectations going into the season for the Bears were so high when with you having a rookie quarterback should not be that high. That being said, I still think the Bears win this game. Anthony Richardson, also technically, is he technically a rookie quarterback? He only played like 4 or 5 games last year.
Nah, he's a sophomore.
Not a rookie quarterback anymore, but he has not looked good. 3 picks in last week's game. I think he's going to struggle against a good Bears defense. I'm going with Bears.
I'm going to go with the Bears too. Colts defense is absolutely horrible right now. I think they let up 230 yards on their run last week, which is just absolutely insane. So, and they're also just very injured. I don't really see how Anthony Richardson's going to operate any better against a very good Bears defense. So I think the Bears are going to win this one. I think it's going to be close, but I got the Bears.
Yeah. Bears have looked all right this year, but I do think they pulled that one out. Next, we got Dolphins at Seahawks. No Tua. We got, I can't remember his name right now, starting the game. Seahawks at home. They've looked good so far this year. I do have the Dolphins pulling this one out. Mm. I think the Dolphins surprise everyone, and they really need to win this game. They still have all those offensive weapons, and if they can pull this one out, they'll have a future in that division. But Tua was just placed on IR. That concussion, who knows when he comes back, if he comes back. I think they go into Seattle and pull off the upset of the week.
I think you're right on that too. You know, I do think that the Dolphins, even though they are a very streaky offense, they're either kind of like feast or famine. I do think, even though this new quarterback,
Skylar Thompson.
I still can't remember. You only know his name. Yeah. But Skylar Thompson, he has two of the best weapons in the league at his disposal. He's an NFL quarterback. I mean, and this Seahawks team has been looking pretty decent. I mean, I know we were kind of like trashing on them before, but like they have been looking pretty confident. I do think this is going to be one of the better games of the week. But honestly, you know what? I got the Seahawks winning this.
At home, that's the right pick. I just got feeling with the Dolphins. And then next we got the Panthers at the Raiders. Panthers just benched Bryce Young. Raiders have Gardner Minshew coming off a big win. I'm going with the Panthers. Andy Dalton is leading this team to a win, their first win of the season. Andy Dalton has, the last time he played a game for the Panthers, they won, and he threw for like 350 yards. Him and Adam Thielen have a good connection. I'm going with the Panthers. The Raiders are a weird team. Sometimes they look good. Sometimes they look like they could be the worst team in the NFL. They constantly have a different quarterback. And Andy Dalton's just going to come in and win a game for the Panthers. And Bryce Young is going to feel even worse about himself, which really stinks. Because I thought he had a future in the NFL. Maybe he still does. He could revive his career like Baker.
He needs to go to a different team.
Baker or Sam. He needs to get off that team. But if anyone can figure it out, it's Andy Dalton. He's getting the win down there.
That's a bold take. That's a bold, bold take. I don't got any hope for the Panthers, regardless of who starts at quarterback. I mean, the Raiders have looked pretty solid so far, and I love Gardner Minshew. I mean, he's just not afraid to throw the ball, and he's got some great weapons at his disposal. I mean, let's look at Brock, right? I mean, he's probably been one of the best tight ends in the league. So, I don't think there's any way that the Panthers do win this, even with a change at QB. I mean, it's not a QB problem. It's just a team problem. So I got the Raiders winning this one, I think, in a dominating fashion.
Next game, we got Ravens-Cowboys. Another really good matchup. I'm going with the Ravens here. They're 0-2. They have a lot more to play for than I think this. The Cowboys got blown out last week, but the Ravens have a lot more dog in them than the Cowboys. Cowboys seem like they want to roll over every week. They have beef with their team. They have beef with Jerry Jones. I'm going with the Ravens.
Yeah, I do think that the Ravens definitely going to come out pretty hungry this week. You're right, too. I feel like the Cowboys kind of like the Lakers of the NFL. There's always so much like drama going in within the organization. And I do feel like when things start going wrong for Dallas, things start going wrong. So
yeah.
I think I think that the Ravens will come out of this one with a win. I think it's going to be a pretty good game. This is my personal game of the week, but I do think Lamar is going to find a way to will the Ravens to win this game, get their season back on track.
Next game should be played on Madden. It's 49ers-Rams, Battle of the IR. No Christian McCaffrey, no Deebo Samuel, no George Kittle, no Puka Nacua, and no Cooper Kupp. This game is going to be really interesting. Brock Purdy is going to have to prove if he's worth that next big contract. That being said, 49ers defense is really good. I'm going with the Niners.
Yeah, I'm probably going to say I'm going to go with the Niners as well. They do have a lot of injuries, I know, but so do both teams. I mean, the Rams are really missing their two best wide receivers right now. So, yeah, sure. Who are you going to throw to now against the 49ers' amazing defense? I mean, even if you had Kupp or Nacua, that's still a really hard matchup anyway into that defense. I don't even got them. Who are you even going to throw to? So I think the 49ers are going to win this one, even though both teams are very injured. I think the injuries matter a bit more for the Rams.
I would agree with you. Losing those two weapons is much bigger. Even though 49ers lost three weapons, they still have some guys left over that can make plays. Next game we got is Lions at Cardinals. Cardinals coming off a big win. Lions coming off a bad loss. I'm going with the Cardinals in this one. Shout out K1. He's looked really good this year. Marv, good game last week. Lions kind of reeling off that last year's season. Maybe a little bit of a finally being good hangover.
They haven't looked too strong. I mean, even first game, they barely won. So, yeah. I don't really know. I think this is a hard game to predict. I'm really interested to see what Aiden Hutchinson's going to do to Kyler Murray.
True.
But, I think I might have to go with the Lions. I think that they're going to have a little bit of a bounce back week, especially that team loves their coach. They love Dan Campbell, and now Dan Campbell's forced to move houses because
fans aren't happy.
Fans are mad at him. So I think they're going to fight for their coach this week. I got the Lions winning.
All right, next game, Chiefs and Falcons. Underrated matchup of the week. Chiefs have not looked great. Falcons didn't look good until that last drive where they pull off that unbelievable win versus the Eagles. I'm going with the Falcons on this one. Kirk Cousins looked a lot better in week two than he did week one. Seems to be getting more comfortable playing off that torn Achilles last year. I'm going with the Falcons this one. I think they hand the Chiefs their first loss of the year.
I think I'm going to go with the Chiefs on this. I'm very high in the Chiefs. I'm kind of like my second team. My mom's a big fan of them. I got the Chiefs on this. I do think the Falcons are definitely very underrated. I know into the season, all people were kind of just thought they were going to be mid, but I think this team could definitely be a bit better than mid. But I think I got the Chiefs winning this. I do think it'll be a close game like a lot of the other games this week, but it just seems like the Chiefs always find a way to win no matter how awful their situation is. So I think they're going to come out of this. I think it's a bit too early for a Chiefs loss in the season.
For our next game, we got your Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Bills.
Oh, God.
Bills have looked really good to start the year. Josh Allen, without Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, has transcended to another level. He was talking about the other day, he's got the Green Goblin mask talking in his ear, telling him to make stupid plays. And sometimes he just has to not make the smart play and go out there and just do whatever. And that's what I love about him. I love Josh Allen, one of my favorite quarterbacks in the league. I'm taking the Bills in this one. Jags have looked bad the first 2 weeks.
Offensively. I gotta pick the Jags for my
team. Take your team.
But there's a lot of problems. I do think that one of the main problems right now with the Jags is that defensively at least, is that they're missing a lot of their primary D-backs in their secondary, missing Tyson Campbell and Darnell Savage. But I don't really think the Bills actually have that strong of a receiver core. So
definitely not.
I do think they will match up pretty evenly into it. And the Jaguars' run defense is great. So I do think they're going to match up very well into the offense. Trevor Lawrence had a post on social media right after they lost the game. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, it was something like, you know, adversity makes us stronger. He never posts anything like that. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to come out of this game really mad.
He's going to come ready?
I think he's going to come ready. This is hopeful. This is very hopeful. I do think the Jaguars are going to hopefully save their season this week. I hope to God.
All right, for two Monday night games this week, we got the Commanders at the Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase is going to have 200 receiving yards against that Commanders defense. Their corners are abysmal. Bengals are taking this one. They're getting on track, and the Commanders are going to fall. Jaden Daniels has not showed a ton so far this year, and just that Bengals receiving core versus the Commanders corners is just free. It's free.
I mean, funny enough, I do think that Jaden Daniels is probably the best rookie QB so far, but that's not saying that
that's
much.
That's not saying much when it's Bo Nix and Caleb Williams.
That's just really not saying much at all. So, but he has looked, the most competent out of all of them, I guess, so far. But, yeah, their offense has still been pretty tragic. I think the Bengals are probably going to come out of this one pretty convincingly. They're in the same situation as the Ravens, where their team that went into the season Super Bowl hopefuls, and now they're 0-2. They need to come out and win this game because they need to save their season. I think the Bengals are going to come out of this with a win.
And then the final game of the week, the final Monday night game, Packers and Titans. This is an interesting one. Looks like Jordan Love is gearing up to play. He's been practicing in pads all week. Even if he doesn't play, it's a Malik Willis revenge game. I'm going with the Packers no matter what. Titans, Will Levis is going to do a backflip and throw an interception somewhere like he's been doing the last 2 weeks. Every week we just get a crazy Will Levis screenshot. But I'm going with the Packers.
I mean, Will Levis has single-handedly lost his game the past two games. I mean, like, Calvin Ridley is doing things that he would never dare dream of on the Jaguars right now. If you saw that catch against the Jets last week,
it was unbelievable.
I thought the Jets player intercepted that. That was an unbelievable catch. But, yeah, I mean, just really, I don't think that Will Levis is going to lead his team to anything. He has made horrible decisions, and luckily, at least, you can fix those horrible decisions, but that comes with a bit of time. So I still think he's going to be that very bad decision-prone player for the meantime. I do think, even regardless if they have Love or Willis in the game, I think the Packers are going to come out with this.
Yeah, just the Packers have looked all right to start the year. Their run game has been really good. But that is going to do it from us here today on NFL Friday. You can listen wherever you get your podcast. And check out our staff's weekly picks on all of our social medias at WFUV Sports. For Chris Carino, Trey Rodriguez, I'm Owen Kelty. Have a great day.